Welcome to The Growth Machine, your backstage pass to the minds behind today's most successful digital marketing agencies. Each episode, we unpack real-world playbooks for scaling revenue, delighting clients, and building cultures that last. The Growth Machine is powered by Dream Giant, the partner that sparks qualified interest, turns leads into signed contracts, and nurtures a loyal tribe of eager buyers. Ready to think bigger? Hit play and let's dream giant. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Growth Machine. I'm your host, Shane Miller, and today we have Jessica Wright, the CEO of AO2 with us today. How you doing, Jessica?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. It's been a long time coming. I feel like we started talking in, what, like May?
Yeah, there's been a lot that's happened over the last 6 months, I think, that kind of derailed things for a bit, but I'm glad we kept in touch and kept this going.
Yep, exactly. Finally recording. All the stars have aligned. So why don't you tell me a little bit about AO2? I know that you guys just went through a merger, and I want to hear all about what that was like, but also, you know, what makes you guys amazing?
Yeah, so AO2 is a full service, Amazon first agency, we like to say. Full service Amazon first, but we do dabble in some Google, Meta, Walmart, but really the focus is on Amazon, and a big focus on the advertising retail media side of things. And we work with brands who are, established, whether on Amazon or off, but want to grow their business. They've kind of hit that plateau and they're ready for that next level. And we help them scale up to the next level. And I think, what kind of differentiates us in the agency space is just the longevity and the experience of the team. I personally have been in the Amazon space for almost 20 years, and we have quite a few people on the team who come from similar backgrounds, whether working inside of Amazon or externally to Amazon on the brand side or on the agency or tech provider side. And as you mentioned, we have recently been through an acquisition and a merger. So in the last 2 years, almost just a little over 2 years, first through a merger, we AO2 agency merged with the agency side of Seller Labs. So technical side of Seller Labs still exists as a standalone company, but AO2 and the agency side of Seller Labs became one company. And then a little earlier this year, back in July, the AO2 agency was acquired by Barrel Holdings Company. And so now we're part of a much larger group of agencies that all serve different sectors of the e-commerce industry.
Got it. And you guys are the Amazon specialists.
We are.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I cannot. Has Amazon been around for 20 years?
More than, apparently. I wasn't one of the first people to the party, but I started in 2008, so not quite 20 years yet. But it was, I should know this. I feel like it was like 99 or something. It was early.
Yeah, that's so wild. And so how come you guys have chosen over time to focus on Amazon?
I think it's over time, the reason has evolved. Out of the gate, it was like, this is just where there's a lot of money to be made. But over the last 3 to 5 years, especially, and definitely the last 3 years, Amazon has really changed how they support brands. And so it's become a space where prior to this, a lot of brands didn't necessarily want to be on Amazon. They maybe thought it was a necessary evil, but they knew that Amazon might not be the best business partner, or they didn't think that the Amazon image was they were too high end for Amazon. And now that Amazon's started supporting brands, there's a lot more opportunity for brands to really extend their branding and just kind of make Amazon an extension of their brand. And so there's no reason why any brand couldn't or shouldn't be on the platform at this point. And there are so many more shoppers there than are in a lot of other places. It's silly not to at least get your products in front of people on Amazon, even if ultimately they go purchase somewhere else, which is a big shift even for Amazon this year, where they are driving traffic off the platform for people to do that exact thing. It's just a necessary, not even at this point a necessary evil, it is necessary to building and expanding your brand that you be on the Amazon platform. And so for us, it's a way to help brands that have already really built that, you know, the core of what they do. And now they need to get it in front of more people to get that brand recognition.
Yep. Yep. I mean, honestly, you can't really beat Amazon's delivery times. Like, I know my wife and I, whenever we're looking for something, we look on Amazon first because we actually have a fulfillment center, I think, 5 minutes away from us. And so we will order something and sometimes it'll get here like 3 to 4 hours later.
It's wild. I mean,
it's crazy. And that's without any additional delivery fees or anything like that. So it's, I completely understand. Do you like find a lot of people come to you when they already are on Amazon, or do some of your best clients come and say, okay, we're not on Amazon, we really need to be, help us?
It's a pretty even split, and both are unique challenges. If a brand is on Amazon, but they're not doing the level of business that they'd like to be, that's when they come to us and say, you know, like, it just feels like we should be doing more. And then we have to dig into why aren't they? Are they just doing some things wrong? Are there things they don't know that could scale up that business, and we're the experts and we can do it? Or is there something wrong with the product or the branding or the supply chain that is prohibiting them from reaching the levels they want? So that's probably 70%. And then 30% is the brand new to Amazon. And we're getting more and more into that, where we're talking with a lot of CPG brands that have started D2C. They started with a Shopify site and they've really perfected their own fulfillment and, you know, engaging with the customer and building this business. But now, you know, it's just a very small ecosystem that they're working within. And now they want to get in front of the, you know, the rest of the eyes. And that the main challenge with that is Amazon has such specific rules and specific things you have to do to play the game Amazon's way to have success. And it doesn't matter who you are as a brand. You're not necessarily just going to start selling on the platform tomorrow and have crazy success because you have to follow their rules. What you can say on your own website is not what you can say on the Amazon website. And how you price on your website may not work on Amazon. And so those are the more challenging ones, even though they could potentially be much more lucrative and great partners for the business to build long term, you know, for us with the agency, is convincing them to play by Amazon's rules and convincing them that you have to do it to have success can be really challenging.
Got it. And like, what does the ideal customer look like for you guys, right? So who comes in, you guys absolutely knock it out of the park for?
Yeah, it's, you know, always first and foremost, brands versus resellers. Amazon still has a lot of resellers, people who do retail arbitrage or, you know, just kind of buy 2,000 of something and slap a label on it. Those aren't the ideal client. It is a brand, somebody who's, you know, worked on building a product and building an image from scratch that is established. So someone who's doing a good, you know, at least 5 million a year, ideally 10 million a year. Across channels. So it doesn't all have to be on Amazon. Like we said, you know, they could be net new to Amazon, but just who has reached that threshold in their business where they're willing to invest and spend a little bit more to grow. And then also advertising is a big piece of it. You know, on the Amazon platform and off of it with ADSP and that sort of thing, we need a good, healthy budget of, we look for, ideally, especially if they're doing the DSP, 10K a month in advertising spend, but 5K can do it. So those are the three big factors. And then beyond that, it has to be something that can be sold on Amazon and can be advertised on Amazon. There are a lot of things that are just prohibited from sale on Amazon. And then there are other things that you can sell, but you can't advertise. And without being able to advertise on Amazon in 2025, you're not going to organically achieve the results that you want.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point? You know, I totally get it. Yeah. Do you find that like the fees and stuff that Amazon charges are like pretty prohibitive to a lot of people coming on and starting?
Theoretically, yes. I can see it more clearly, I think, because I came from a traditional retail background. Versus a lot of the brands, like I said, we're talking to now are D2C. So they've done kind of everything in-house and they've just sold through their own website and they maybe haven't sold into Nordstrom or Macy's or, you know, that sort of thing. And so I think I have a unique perspective in being able to explain and close that gap to them. Selling to Amazon or selling on Amazon is no different than selling into a traditional retailer. They have similar fees by different names. And probably more chargebacks and more things that will hit you on the back end than Amazon does. Amazon's fees are difficult to decode. If you don't know all of those fee buckets and you don't know what to expect, you can certainly spend more and have more come off your bottom line than you'd like. But at least they're upfront about them. There is a page you can go to that details what everything is versus if you were selling into a traditional retailer and you signed that vendor agreement and you're agreeing to all of these things that they could possibly, if you put the tape on the wrong place on the box or use the wrong density of box or any of those things in traditional retail, you get hit with a lot of things after the fact. And on Amazon, you pretty much know going in, there are fee calculators, what you can see what those margins are going to be. And then if you're savvy or you have a good partner, there's a bunch of programs you can opt into that will help you save on those fees as well. So yes, it is prohibitive. Theoretically, people are afraid of it. But once they have an opportunity to talk to us and we can help explain it, we help them understand what those fees are a little bit more clearly, and then what they can do in their business to minimize the impact to their bottom line. But it's going to hurt. I mean, it's a big chunk that you're paying to someone, but you're paying it to Amazon, you're paying it to Target, it's whoever it is that is that, you know, platform for you to get your products in front of people. They're going to take a cut.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's, I think, a huge value add for you guys is coming in and being able to really explain everything and be like, this is what it's going to cost, right?
Yeah.
There's no hidden stuff that's going to come out after it. Like, this is the cost. So
yep.
Yeah, I think that's probably somewhere you guys help clients massively.
Yeah. And it's, you know, a conversation we have a lot because they come to us from their D2C site. They want to be on Amazon. And then there's that internal brand struggle of, but the profits are better over here on our D2C site. So we want to prioritize that, but you're doing it for such a small pool of, you know, of customers. And so, yes, you're sitting pretty with a nicer profit, but what could you do if you opened it up? And it's, you know, the quantity versus quality conversation, but on, you know, you don't have to give up all of your quality to get some quantity on Amazon. It's just finding what's the sweet spot. What do you want to do for the business?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I think we all have to make that balance and choice, right? So tell me, like, growth strategies, what are you doing to get these ideal customers in? What's the growth strategy moving forward for AO2?
So big thing for us this year has been, and will continue to be, leaning heavier into Amazon's DSP, the demand side platform advertising, where we can advertise off the Amazon platform. And so that's through Amazon's properties. So on Prime Video, you know, the Sunday Night Football, the Freevee, whatever they have, but also through all the traditional retail media channels that any other publisher could grant you. And then things that Amazon can do outside of that as well, like Hulu, Disney Plus. They've just announced Netflix is going to be a partner. So we'll be able to serve ads for our clients on the Netflix platform on those ad supported plans for their Amazon products, but also for non-Amazon products. And so that's a big, big push for us this year, as well as getting into those non-endemic products, things that aren't sold on Amazon. Amazon's opened up a few different channels for brands to advertise on the platform and direct traffic off, or just use DSP to never even touch the Amazon platform, but to, you know, to go through their catalog of you know, places that we can advertise, and advertise for things that are, you know, local businesses or products and non-tangible things that aren't sold on Amazon. So that's, we've kind of, not to say that we've mastered it or that we've done everything that can be done with products being sold on Amazon, but we have a great system for that. And so we're going to continue, I think, to just have brands reach out to us for that sort of thing. And that's the core part of our business. And now what we're actively seeking is, how can we do these next level retail media advertising things for current clients? And how can we reach those new ICP clients for that type of advertising?
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And so is that a process that you guys have started already, or is that like kind of future?
That's something that we've started already. I think, you know, we've been doing it for a little while. We've been doing a DSP for a while for current clients. And so that has allowed us to build some pretty decent case studies to really showcase what we're doing. And so just this year, we've really started the process of getting all of our content together to be able to sell externally to clients who aren't current clients. And a few months ago, we really started down that path. And that's going to be the big focus as we round out this year and then go into 2026 is now having those conversations with non-native clients and trying to bring in some new business that way for brands that we haven't necessarily proven. Like current clients, it's super easy. We've proven to them what we can do on Amazon. Now let us show you what we can do off Amazon. But by being able to do that for current clients, now we have those case studies and things that we can show that we, you know, had 17% new to brand engagement for brands that have opted into the DSP advertising, and now we're reaching that top of funnel for them. So we have things like that where we can show what we're capable of doing, even if you haven't worked with us and kind of bought into us through our Amazon management.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And so what has been like the greatest success and the greatest challenge that's come out of the strategy so far?
So I think the greatest challenge is really understanding how to talk about it when we've been so PPC focused. So traditional Amazon advertising is so different than DSP advertising. And I think a lot of people have had bad experiences because DSP has traditionally been very top of funnel. And so it is a spend where you're not getting an obvious one-to-one result. And because people, you know, we've talked about kind of the Amazon fees and this perception that Amazon is a more expensive place to play or that Amazon isn't the best business partner. And so when there was a lot of what people perceived as wasted spend or could actually have been wasted spend because you weren't working with a partner who really knew what they were doing with DSP, DSP early on got a very bad name. Like it was just basically, it's another cash grab from Amazon to get your money without like necessarily having good results. And so we have to overcome that perception and we've had to be able to really figure out how to position ourselves so that we could sell that, so that we could explain to people why that perception was wrong and what we can really do. And so I think one of the biggest wins that has happened throughout that process is something that happened for us, not necessarily because of us, but Amazon introducing AMC, Amazon Marketing Cloud, and all of the insights that have come along with AMC, and especially this year opening up like this look back window. So you can look back to how customers have interacted with things over the last 5 years. If you're a really established brand and you have 5 years plus of, you know, of selling experience, then there's a lot of information there about how people have interacted with your brand and things that have happened and what those customers have done for you to inform new strategy. And so from that, DSP has become a lot more reasonably priced. Even though the price hasn't changed, what you can now do with that same spend is a lot different than what it was even 2 years ago. And it's become something that can now be really a full funnel strategy. We've been talking a lot with brands about how it is like a higher upfront spend. But when you look at how cost per click spikes for a lot of categories around the holiday time, there's so many people playing with a finite field of, you know, of potential eyes to get in front of. If you take that spend to put it into DSP instead, you can spend the same amount of money or less with better results. So it's like, it's the way that Amazon has changed some things that are connected to or related to DSP that have allowed us now these big wins to be able to frame things differently or achieve different things that let us be able to sell to a much wider audience and have a chance to prove ourselves.
Got it. Makes a lot of sense. And, you know, as we kind of get to the end of the podcast here, I just have one more question for you. I'm trying to get more creative with my questions. So for this one, what would be your number one piece of advice for somebody who is considering going on Amazon but isn't there already?
So the biggest thing is always to be prepared. And what I mean by that is you don't get a lot of second chances on Amazon. So when you decide that you're ready to sell on the platform, make sure that you've done your research and you've done your prep. If you've just been selling through your D2C site, you may not have had to comply with a lot of the regulations or the things that are required to sell your product through other entities in the US. And so just making sure that you have your trademarks and you're protected in that way and you can set up brand registry and making sure that you have the data to back up or the documents to back up whatever you say your product can do or that your product is safe and all of those things, that makes getting started on Amazon much easier and makes your selling path successful long term, because there's never going to be a chance when Amazon says, oh, by the way, do you have this? And you don't. And then your product gets flagged and can't be sold. And then you spend 6 months trying to get it sold again. Being prepared in the Amazon space, and we have a particular launch package for this where we can make sure you have all of those things and also get those ready for you. And since I kind of just sold us a little bit there, I will go one step further on that. But work with an agency starting out, I really think that's essential, even if it's just for an initial launch. And the reason I say that is because, like AO2, we are agency partners with a program at Amazon that will get you a dedicated rep at Amazon for free for a year. And that's something that through the Launchpad program used to be a paid program, through Amazon SaaS used to be, still is, something you can pay tens of thousands of dollars a month for to have a dedicated rep. But we as a partner agency can get that for free. And it's invaluable as you run into hurdles up front for things you couldn't have been prepared for or that Amazon isn't understanding about your product. Having not just us, you know, fighting for you, but also having a resource inside of Amazon that's dedicated to your brand doing those things. So just knowing everything you need to know, having it all ready, and then having those resources in place too to get enrolled into the programs and the things that can help you. So it seems silly, but, you know, being prepared. I think a lot of people think they can just come up with a product that they've seen somewhere else and put their brand name on it and start selling it on Amazon and have success. And I think you could years ago, and that's just not the case anymore.
Got it. I mean, you know, that I, be prepared. I mean, I think that's pretty much good advice for anything right. You do. So no, I love it. And, you know, obviously for anybody who's listening, you know, work with AO2. If you're on Amazon, want to be on Amazon, very clearly the right option here. So if you do want to learn more about them, their website will be in the podcast description. But anyway, Jessica, thank you so much for being on. It's been a pleasure. Finally, glad we finally got to do this.
Yes, I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much. I've had a great time.